Shola, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get to serve here on staff with the high school ministry, and I'm pumped that every single one of you came to hear from God tonight through the worship, through teaching, through the testimony, and through the fellowship with each other. So grab your Bible, grab a journal. We are continuing our summer series where we've been talking about what's so bad about different topics over the summer. What's so bad about, we did alcohol, we did cussing, and we did maybe music? Making out and stuff. There we go. And there was music in there. Making out and stuff. And this week, we're continuing that series by talking about what's so bad about explicit content. The content that you see on TV or see in movies, see in shows, hear in music, see on video games or read in books, whatever the case might be. That is what we're talking about tonight. What's so bad about the explicit content contained in them? And so, just to kind of set up where we're going, I just want to share a little bit about my life, about myself. I love going on day trips. How many of you guys, you know, like going on trips where you spend the entire day going on adventure? Yeah, there we go. We got some people in here that like doing that. So I enjoy going hiking, going hammocking, being out in nature, reading, hammocking, like I said, walking with friends. And most recently, I've been taking a few day trips to Austin, Texas. And there's some very important things that you should take on a day trip to Austin, Texas. First of which is a hammock so that you can hammock down in the nature when you're down there. Probably a good book so that you can read while you're hanging out. Let's see, what else? Maybe a Bluetooth speaker so that you can, you know, set the right, you know, vibe as you're chilling and hanging. Some Lululemon pants to wear if it's kind of too chilly or windy. Some Lululemon shorts if it's too hot and you got to switch to some shorts. Some Bluetooth headphones, noise canceling if you want to take away all of the noise that's outside distracting you. All of these are important things to take on a day trip that are very essential. So the last day trip that I took, I was going to propose to my now fiance, Hannah. And so, don't worry, guys. She said yes, just in case you're wondering. And so in addition to these day trip essentials that I just talked to you about, I had to bring along some more essential stuff for that specific trip. And so my plan for proposing to her was I was going to give her envelopes. This is one of the actual envelopes. I would give them to her throughout the course of the day. And these envelopes contained pictures just like from our relationship. And on the back of them was like a little note. Some of them were just like funny inside jokes. Some were more like, you know, longer, more meaningful. So I had a few of these envelopes to give her. And of course, I had to have the engagement ring. The engagement ring isn't actually in here, but this was the box that it was actually in, which is huge, and you can't hide it, and one of you needs to create a company that makes like a really, really slim, you know, like engagement ring box for future reference. Anyways, so I had to bring these on this day trip, right? And the night before, I'm packing my day trip backpack, and the next morning, we're heading off to the airport, and I had the thought in my mind, oh, my goodness, I forgot the pictures. I forgot the engagement ring. But don't worry, I hadn't. But I was so nervous. I thought I had. I was about to lose my mind. That I was going to be on this trip with a hammock and with Lulu pants and Lulu shorts, but without the most essential and important things for the day trip, right? The engagement ring and the pictures. And so even though my backpack was full of good and important things for a day trip, if I didn't have those things, I could not have accomplished my goal for the day. That makes sense, right? And the reason I start there is because just like you need the right content in your backpack to accomplish a goal, for example, my goal was to get engaged, I had to have the right contents in that backpack. As it relates to explicit content, you need the right content in your mind to experience the right outcome in your life. You need the right content in your mind, in your backpack, kind of, to use that analogy. You need the right content in your mind to experience the right outcome in life. And I want to make a case to you, high school students, that if you engage or allow yourself to be exposed to on a consistent basis to explicit content, you're doing more damage to yourself and to your relationships than you could ever imagine. I want to make the case that if you allow yourself to be exposed continually to explicit content, that it does more damage to you and to your relationships than you think. Because you're continually filling your mind, filling your backpack, to keep using that analogy, with the wrong stuff, which leads to the wrong outcome in your life. So to continue that illustration, your mind is like a backpack, right? And you take it with you wherever you go. You put the things in it that you need for that day. You fill your backpack. You fill your minds with the things that you need to accomplish that day. So let's say, for example, 6 weeks ago, you were just about to have your math final to end the school year. Tell me what you were doing the night before the math final exam. Some of you were sleeping, but the people that wanted to pass their exam, they were up late, they were up past midnight, they were filling their mind with essential information that they needed to accomplish the goal of passing the exam, right? And so here's what I want to say to you. If your goal is to be a devoted follower of Jesus, and I know in a room this size, there's probably people who are skeptical to Christianity, probably people who aren't even believers. And I want to challenge you to keep listening, even though you don't feel like this might be relevant to you. I think this is relevant to anyone, as it's helpful for life in general. But if you're in a room and you want to be a devoted follower of Jesus, it matters what you put into your backpack. And if your goal is to be a devoted follower of Jesus, you have to fill your mind with the right stuff. And so tonight what we're going to do for the next few moments is we're going to look at three questions. And the first question is, what is explicit content? What do I mean? I want us to all be on the same page with what we're really talking about. And then we're going to look at how explicit content affects us. How does explicit content affect us? And then number three, we're going to look at what we should do about it. So what is it? How does it affect us? How does it affect you and me, and what should we do about explicit content? So number one, what is explicit content? I'm going to give you a quick definition, and then we're going to move quickly into the second point. Explicit content can be defined as this: lyrics, scenes, words, or images that may lead to unhelpful and unhealthy thoughts, perspectives, attitudes, and actions. So explicit content, what we're talking about tonight, lyrics, scenes, words, images that may cause you, if you expose yourself to it continually, may cause you to have unhelpful or unhealthy thoughts, perspectives on the world, attitudes towards others, and actions in your own life. Explicit content is the reason why you see these kind of logos in a movie trailer, on a music album, or on a video game, or on a TV show. They're warning you. They're telling you, hey, some of the contents of what you're about to experience may not be most appropriate for a particular audience. And so explicit content, like we've been defining it, includes violence, sex, nudity, drinking, drugs, rape, abuse, and you can go on and on in print and in movies and music and in all sorts of media. And I know some of you in the room might be saying, man, explicit content is everywhere, Jermaine. Why is this even one of the topics for Summer Shoreline? It's in music and movies and images and print. It's normal. And here's the thing. I know your objections. I hear some of you already saying, but I only listen to the beat of that song. Right? You laugh because you know you've said it before. Or it's just the artistic expression of the artist. We have to listen to it or see it how they wanted it to be listened to or seen. Or that Christians should just get over it. Right? But here's what I want to challenge you with as we move on to the next point. Do you really think that the explicit content that you expose yourself to over and over, do you really think that you are 100% unaffected by it? Do you really think that you're 100% unaffected by it? Because here's the truth. Explicit content is a teacher that you didn't even know you had. Maybe it teaches you subliminally, you're not even paying attention, but you're being taught a way of life. You're being taught a worldview. You're being taught an attitude. You're being taught how to make decisions, and you don't even know it because you have a teacher that you don't even know you had. Explicit content is a teacher that you didn't know you had and that you listened to it without even thinking about it. So, now that we've established where we are together on what is explicit content, I want to move on next to our second point, which is how does explicit content affect us? When we continually expose ourselves to it, how does it affect us? And so here's kind of the overarching answer to that question, and then we'll kind of delve into it a little bit more in detail afterwards. So how does explicit content affect us? Explicit content, here's the answer, it stunts our transformation by feeding us flawed information. Explicit content stunts our transformation, or it stops us from growing. It keeps us stagnant. It keeps us where we probably don't want to be because we want to continue maturing in our faith and in our walk with the Lord. Explicit content stunts our transformation. How? By feeding us false information. And I wrote down some of the messages or the lessons that the explicit content teaches us that we may not even be paying attention to. See if these sound familiar when you think about the music, the movies, the TV shows, the books, the games that you've experienced or been exposed to. Here are some of the lessons or the information, the flawed information that they give. A violent response is normal. An addiction is okay. Thinking of women in this way is just the way it is. Drinking leads to a fun, awesome, amazing life. Casual sex is a normal part of dating. Like, I'm not kidding. A few weeks ago, I was meeting with a guy here at Watermark, and he was telling me his story, and he told me that his now wife's dad was mad at him because he did not want to have sex with his daughter before they got married. Let me say that again. A grown man in 2018 was telling this young man who wanted to pursue purity in his relationship, you're crazy for not wanting to have sex with my daughter. Like, literally, that's what he said. And that's the world that we live in. That's not out of the ordinary. Even as you're like, that's crazy. Welcome to the real world. Here's some more things that explicit content teaches us. If you engage in this activity, you'll be accepted and welcomed by others. Or this is how sex is supposed to look or feel. Using discriminatory and derogatory language is okay or normal. Every girl's body should look like that, and if they don't, you shouldn't be interested. Every guy should look like that or talk like that, and if they don't, you shouldn't be interested. And here's what I want to tell you. Explicit content continues to give us flawed information. And slowly but surely, we begin to believe differently, and it begins to affect our behavior. What you believe eventually shows up in how you behave. And it's not just, you know, this list that I just came up with, but science proves that the explicit content that we listen to affects us. Science says it physiologically does. I was looking up these articles, literally, just Google, how does explicit content affect your brain? And you'll find article after article, research after research, where it shows that your brain physically grows, changes based on what you put into your mind. Like, I saw this one that talked about people who didn't know how to juggle, right? And they did an MRI on their brain before they started to learn how to juggle. And then, you know, they were trained over a few months and all this stuff. And 3 months later, they did an MRI on their brain again. and the white matter, like big, you know, gooey juiciness had changed, had grown, had shifted because they learned this new skill. Who are we to think that the things that we listen to and watch and read over and over and over again don't actually impact the way we think and the way that we live? And so the point that I want to make to you as we continue on this is this. What you intake will eventually become what you output. What you intake will eventually become what you output. What you keep putting in that backpack, the perspectives, the ways to make decisions, the actions that you should take part in, if you keep putting them in that backpack, what do you think is going to come out? The same thing that you've kept feeding yourself. I want to show us a passage of scripture that I think helps illustrate this point a little bit more. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So turn there with me, look at it up on the screen, whatever the case might be, and I'll explain where we're going next. So it says this. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, this pastor, this young man who was leading a church, and he's also telling it to us in 2018. And he says this, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And so basically he's saying, hey, at some point in time, there will be these false teachers who will be in churches all over the world. And they'll be telling you, hey, if you want to have lots of money, give me some of your money. If you want to be healthy, if you want to be wealthy, if you want to be prosperous, this is what you need to do. Or that thing that you used to believe about Jesus, you don't need to believe it anymore. Here's some new information. He's saying these false teachers are in the church deceiving people. And in verse 2, he goes on and says, such teachings come from hypocritical liars, right? And this is the part I want us to pay attention to, the last phrase. Whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. How many of you guys have ever ironed anything before in your life? Like use an iron. Okay, there we go. I'm tracking with half of the room. How many of you have gotten burned by an iron before? Yeah, some people in the room. So when I was a kid, I was a troublemaker, as you can imagine. And one of the things I liked to do was when my mom was ironing my dad's clothes or ironing me and my brother's clothes, uniforms for school, or whatever the case was, I would like to come and test how hot the iron was or if it wasn't on at all. And so my ideal way of testing it would be to walk up to it and press both of my thumbs against it. And on multiple occasions, I burned both of my thumbs very badly, testing it out. I didn't learn from one time. I kept doing it because I was a dumb kid. But what happens to skin that gets burned by an iron? It smells, it burns, it dies, right? And so what Paul is getting at here is that these men, these false teachers, had told these false messages so much over and over and over again that their consciences died. Their consciences became callous to the leading of the Holy Spirit. They became insensitive to what God's word was calling them to do and how God's word was calling them to live. And do you know that if you continue over and over and over again to expose yourself to explicit content that teaches you a way of life or teaches you an attitude or a worldview, that you know that if you keep doing it over and over and you hear that conviction from the Holy Spirit, like, don't do it, bro. Don't do it, girl. It's not worth it. But you keep doing it. Yeah, he says it just like that. And you keep doing it, right? Do you know that after a while, like, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even feel like he's there or saying anything. Why? Because your heart, because your conscience has been seared, like as if it's seared with a hot iron. You've become callous to the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. There might be people in a room tonight who, you know, you've looked at porn so much, or you've gone into that addiction so much, or you've listened to that music so much, or you've played those violent games so much that it doesn't affect you anymore. And that's not a good thing, is what I want you to know. What you intake will eventually become what you output. In other words, what you believe always affects the way you behave. You know this. Like I just said, it's proven by science, and it's also proven by experience. Our culture knows this. Even though the culture wouldn't want to admit this, we know that certain things are only appropriate or inappropriate for certain people. That's why we have TV ratings, right? Where, you know, some is for all children or for older children or for mature audiences. Why? Our culture knows that there's some things that a little kid should not be exposed to. Why? Because it knows that what you see, what you intake, will continue to come out. Your intake will eventually become your output. Here's an illustration of that I think you'll relate to. This last weekend, I was babysitting my fiance's brother's kids. So, 4-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy. And so we're taking them all around town. They're eating snow cones and doing all this fun stuff. And we decide we're going to watch a movie, like, with dinner, like, as a special treat, right, for them. And that we're trying to decide between watching Paw Patrol or Pinkalicious and all these things that none of you probably know about unless you have a little sibling. And we landed on watching the Disney version of The Three Musketeers. And it's, you know, Mickey and, yeah, you like this movie, apparently. It's Goofy and Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, and they're the Three Musketeers. But there's a scene in the movie, while we're watching it, where, like, the villain bad guy calls Mickey Mouse, you know, a doofus. And I'm sitting there with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and all of these thoughts immediately go through my mind. Oh my gosh, are they supposed to hear that word? What if they repeat that word? What if when their parents come home, they're like, "What's up, Dad and Mom, you doofuses? Glad you're here." Like, and they're like, "How? Where'd you hear that word? Oh, it's in that movie that Jermaine let us watch." And like, all of that started going through my mind, and I was like, "I'm so nervous. Why? Why did that go through my mind? Why is that funny for you?" Because you're like, that's probably not a word that they should hear, right? Because we know, in our hearts we know, that what we intake eventually becomes what we output. What you intake will eventually become what you output. And the reason why some of you, and I'm going to challenge you, the reason why some of you are stuck in your relationship with the Lord, or have been stagnant, been in the same place you were a year ago or 2 years ago, is because you continue to allow yourself to be informed by flawed information in the explicit content that you expose yourself to, and it stunted your growth. The reason why some of you haven't placed your faith in Jesus is because you've bought into the lie from the flawed information in our culture and in the explicit content that you expose yourself to, that some other way of life is better, some other way of life is more fun than walking with Jesus. You've bought into a lie, and because you've believed the lie, your behavior has been different. But I want you to remember this point, that what you intake will eventually become what you output. It's a cheesy example, and you know, it doesn't make any sense, but I want to make it because hopefully you'll remember it. Putting explicit content into your mind, into your backpack, and hoping that what comes out is pure thoughts and pure perspectives and pure actions is like putting this Bluetooth speaker in this backpack and hoping that somehow, some way, when I pull it out, it transforms into, you know, like an iPhone 7. It doesn't make sense. It's dumb, right? Exactly. When you keep putting the explicit content into your mind, you keep bringing it with you everywhere you go, what you intake is gonna be what comes out. So what should we do? If What's so bad about explicit content is that it stunts our transformation by feeding us flawed information. Then what should a responsible Christian teenager do in response? What should we do about explicit content? And the answer that I want to give to you before I give scripture and some examples is this. Change your input so your output changes. Change your input so your output changes. If what you continually put into your backpack, into your mind, eventually comes out in the way that you live, then the obvious answer, the obvious decision that you should make on a daily basis is to change what you put in so that it changes what comes out. And we see that clearly explained in this verse that I think you should commit to memory. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. It says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters," so he's talking to Christians, so if you're not a Jesus follower, not a Christian, this is just helpful advice. But if you are a Christian and you want to be a devoted follower of his, this is what he says you should do when it comes to explicit content. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy," what should you do? "Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." He gives us the key. He helps us understand what we, if we want to be faithfully following Jesus, Paul tells us what you should do. If that's your commitment, he says, think about what's true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. And the most praiseworthy and admirable thought that any of us can ever think is that the God of the universe loved all of us so much that he sent his son Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, the way to life eternal with God and the way to a meaningful and purposeful life today. And then to build upon that thought about the good news of the gospel. And so, a few points of application from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. What should you do? What should we do about explicit content? The first one is this. Stop watching, reading, looking at, or listening to, or playing, you know, video games, whatever it might be, to explicit content. Stop watching, reading, looking at, or listening to explicit content. Like, it's just a straight up challenge to you guys. Think about the things that you're involved in. Think about the content that you allow to flow into your mind on a daily basis. And if it's pushing you away from God and pushing you away from the way you are supposed to live or the way you want to live, I'm challenging you. I'm telling you from Philippians that you should remove it from your life. Some of you have been addicted to pornography and you just need to stop. Decide, choose that I'm done with this. It's affecting the way I view the world and view women and act and the attitudes that I have. I'm done. I want to follow Jesus. Stop watching, reading, looking at, or listening to explicit content. That was just one example, but you know there are dozens of examples. So here's a question that I think is helpful for you and for me, that's been helpful to me, to help me filter, to help me make decisions on, hey, what kind of content I let, you know, come into my backpack. And here's the question. How does taking in this content affect the content of my heart? How does taking in whatever this media is, you know, this movie, this TV show, this music, this game, this book, how does taking in this content affect the content of my heart? And I'm not saying that music and movie and anything is like completely bad. I'm not telling you, hey, you should never watch this show or you should never listen to this artist. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to give you a to-do list. I'm trying to give you a way to think and then act upon it. And this is a great question to ask. How does this affect me. A couple examples are from David Penuel and my life. This last year, David went through the Christian recovery ministry here at Watermark called Regen, where you work through different habits and hang-ups and sin patterns and all this kind of stuff, and it's amazing for adults, right? And so one of the things that he realized throughout the process and that I saw through, you know, continuing to work with David for the last 6 years is that he's a very funny dude, right? But also, sometimes he can take those jokes a little bit across the line or far across the line. And he would say everything I'm saying right now, so don't worry about Dave. And so he went through this program and realized that comedy was a struggle for him. And so he would religiously watch Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live is a hilarious show, and I'm not making a comment for or against it. But David decided that if he wanted to change his input so that his output would change, that he had to stop watching that show. And so he went from watching every single episode every weekend on Sunday afternoons to not watching SNL at all. Why? Not because SNL is terrible and evil, but because the input was changing what was being output from his life, and because he didn't want that to be the output, he changed what was being input. And so instead of watching SNL, guess what he did? He started writing out verses from Proverbs that talk about the tongue and how you're to wisely use it, and started memorizing those and reading those instead. Why? Because the content was affecting the content of his heart. And so he changed the content that he was taking in. And from me personally, I love the TV show New Girl. It's hilarious. Anyways, I love that show. But what started to happen that I realized in my own life is that I would, after every episode or when I thought I was going to watch another episode, I was like, man, I can't wait to see, you know, how she looks in that dress. Or I can't wait to see how this relationship works out. Or I can't wait to see what happens with, you know, when they come over to the apartment. All these unhelpful and unhealthy thoughts. And I decided, as hilarious as this show is, this content is changing what's being output. And so I'm out. And so I stop watching it in the middle of this. I don't know what has happened. And sometimes I wonder, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it for how it affects my heart and affects the way I live. Another thing that I've done, that David has done, is literally we have unfollowed people in this ministry, students in this ministry, because of stuff that they've posted. Not just girls, but guys also. Stuff that they've posted, things that they've shared, things that they've tweeted, all this stuff. And we want to be in your lives, but if it's content that's not helpful to us, we're out. And so I know some of y'all might go look and see, let me see if Jermaine's still following me. Well, if I'm not, then you know why. Or that I never followed you in the first place. Sorry. that was not meant to be mean. It's just it's true. The first encouragement or application is to stop watching, reading, looking at, or listening to explicit content. Number two is an interesting challenge that I really want you to get. You know, if you take stuff out of the backpack that you don't want in there, if you stop listening to the explicit content, you know, in music and movies and shows and books and games, whatever the case might be, it's your backpack's now empty, right, in some senses. And I want to challenge you to not just remove stuff, but to fill your mind with something else in its place. And that something else is God's word. God's word has everything you need for life and godliness. And I want to challenge you. When was the last time you decided, I'm going to memorize a verse of scripture? Wouldn't it be awesome that in moments when you're anxious, you had in your mind Philippians 4:6, which says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a good verse to think of when you're anxious or worried about something, where it's saying, hey, don't just allow yourself to be anxious, but cast it at the feet of the eternal Father who cares for you and wants to help you through it. Imagine you knew that in your head and you didn't have to Google it. Help me with a verse about anxiety. Because you had it written on your heart. This year I've been memorizing Psalm 16 that Hunt quoted in his testimony. And last year I memorized Psalm 103. And I learned so much about the character of God. And I review those verses over and over again because I need to be reminded of who God is. What are you doing to memorize and put truth into your mind and into your heart? There are a couple apps that I want to encourage you to download if you haven't or if you've never heard of it and you're like, what should I do? How should I start memorizing scripture? One of them is Scripture Typer. I know some people in this room actually that use this one. These are just different tools that I want to present to you that will be helpful in memorizing scripture if you want to. And then there's also another app called the Verses app. That's the one I use. Both of them are very helpful in continuing to challenge me to memorize scripture. So take the explicit content out and replace it with the truth of God's word. And finally, the final application from Philippians 4 is this. You know, in verse 9, he says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice. Keep surrounding yourself with positive influences. The Apostle Paul was like, hey, Timothy, look at my life. And as I follow Jesus, follow me and follow Jesus too. And the encouragement is the same for you. Put yourself around others who are encouraging you and challenging you in your relationship with God. It may be people in your small group or family members or your small group leaders. There's so many positive influences that I know every one of you has access to. How are you taking advantage of them? So, to change your input so your output changes, stop watching, reading, and looking at or listening to explicit content. Start memorizing scripture and keep surrounding yourself with positive influences. So what's so bad about explicit content? Explicit content stunts our transformation, like we said before, by feeding us flawed information. And Christian teenagers, if you're in the room and you claim to be a follower of Jesus, Christian teenagers that want to follow Christ, change their input so that their output changes. Christian teenagers that want to follow Jesus, not just say they're a Christian and it doesn't affect their lives, they change what they input so that it changes what they output. And so, when you're taking your mind wherever you go on the journey of life, and in those moments where you really, really need that thing, like I really, really needed to have my engagement ring or the pictures to propose to my fiance, in those moments where you really need something in your mind, will you have what you need when you need it most? Or will your mind be filled with things that push you away from God? Let me pray that you would. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the reminders from it that you want us to live an abundant and meaningful life, and that a part of that is that we need to pay careful attention to what we put into our minds, because what we put into our minds eventually will come out in our actions and in our lives. I pray for every student, every adult in this room, myself including, that we would pay close attention to what we're intaking so that we are conscious of what we're outputting into the world. Help us to memorize your word. Help us to stop listening to, looking at, seeking out explicit content, and help us to follow you. Help us to replace it with truth from your word. Help us to surround ourselves with positive influences that are encouraging us to walk with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.